You know, we've been doing a Bible series, Jen did the trusting the Bible and the interpretation of the Bible, and I'll be doing the applying the Bible and Jesus in the Bible next Sunday. And the title of the message is Love and Live Scripture, okay? Love and Live Scripture. And the passage is from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. It says this, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man or woman who built his or her house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who built his or her house on a sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash." And the church said, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, well, we have to have our life on the foundation on the Word of God. The Word of God is our foundation. And Jesus says here, okay, two things here. Everyone who hears these words of mine, anyone who hears these words of mine, I relate that to loving the Word. Okay, loving the Word. It's not just hearing, but my Word here, you know, my Word. The Word of God becomes very personal. It's personal. You love the Word. You hear it, you study it, you receive it. And the Bible testimony about itself is that the Word of God is able to go to the soul and spirit, joint and marrow, your thoughts and your attitude of your heart. Okay? It goes very deepest part of your heart, the Word of God. But Jesus didn't stop here. You gotta hear these words of mine, love the Word, and put them into practice. Live the Word. Okay? You gotta live the Word. Apply the Bible to your life. To apply the Bible to your life. And you know, a person who loves and lives God's Word is a person, the Bible says, on a solid foundation, where the house is built on a solid foundation. A foundation determines how much you could build on that foundation. You know, if the foundation is weak, you can't build that much on it. But if the foundation is strong, you could build, you know, Empire State Building on that foundation. And those who love God's Word and live God's Word are those who have a very strong foundation, because they are building their life on truth, okay? On truth. And you are building your life on things that don't change. When the storm comes, when you're facing trials, okay? And some of you are going through this, you know, you feel like you're under a storm, you're facing trial, you're being tempted, when you feel discouraged, when you are disappointed, when you feel weak, when you're spiritually attacked, okay? If you don't have a strong foundation, okay, you will fall. But if your foundation is on the Word of God, you will not fall. Okay? You will not fall. You will not be blown away. You will stand, and you will overcome. Okay? Isn't that a great promise? Right? Isn't that a great promise? In a bag of Doritos, not going to help you, okay? And, you know, I don't want to go back to that. I'm set free from that. And then someone who loves and lives God's Word is a Christian who is going to do great things for the kingdom of God, okay? If you rely on tradition, and I'm not against tradition, but if you rely on tradition, over time, it loses its meaning and purpose. And people start to forget why they do certain things that they do because of tradition. And eventually it wears out and becomes invalid. If you rely on fashion, okay, if you rely on culture, and if you rely on popular opinion, people's opinion, oh boy, those things are constantly changing. Those things are constantly changing. And if you put your life on those things, you will be insecure. because it's constantly changing. You'll feel like you never measure up. If you make one mistake and you feel like you're rejected. I remember when I was in high school, I didn't wear the clothes that I was supposed to wear, and I went to this party and I felt rejected. I felt because I wasn't in fashion. I made one mistake, But if you rely on your feeling, that's not good either. You'll go up and down. Right? If you're not feeling good, this is not good, because you'll see everything through that lenses. Okay? You'll start to see everything through that lenses, and feelings will lie to you. Okay? And when you rely, feeling is not sin, our emotion, but if you rely on that, then you're in trouble. Okay? If it becomes a foundation for your life, then you're in trouble, because feelings lie to you. You'll start to falsely judge other people based on your feeling. You'll misinterpret the situation because you base your life on feelings. And sometimes this is one thing that, God's convicting me of. I believe in this culture, we have this false image of God because we base our relationship with God based on feeling. There's this false image that God is unloving, God is angry, God does not care, God is distant, right? And it's because we base on feeling rather than the Word of God. Okay, Word of God. The Pharisee, one thing I do hand it to them, the Pharisee in the Bible, they took the Bible seriously. They did. Right? And they were biblical scholars. They had to memorize the first five books of the Bible. Right? They memorized it. But the Pharisee did not experience spiritual victory. Why? Matthew chapter 23, verse 5 says this about the Pharisee. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garment long. What are phylacteries? Phylacteries are boxes containing scriptural verses. And they tied it around their forehead. And they made sure it was a lot. I don't know, it's wide. They made sure it was wide, or they tied it around their arm, right? And so the Word of God, it wasn't to love the Word of God, to live the Word of God, but the Word of God, the Bible, was a decoration, a show, a performance. Pharisee misused the Bible. Right? The Bible was used to get respect for position and influence, how much they could influence others for themselves. The Bible was used to control people. The Bible was used to get people to obey them. It wasn't because they loved the Bible and they lived the Bible. Jesus said about the Pharisee, you nullify the Word of God in Mark chapter 7. Jesus said about them, inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness in Matthew 23. You put more burden on other people in Matthew 23. You are blind leaders in Matthew 15, and this is what Jesus said about the Pharisee. You shut the kingdom of heaven for others. You shut the door to the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And because they didn't love the Word of God, they didn't live the Word of God. Okay? And so how do we love and live Scripture? I got 5 points. Number one, feed. Right? Number one, feed. Okay, feed. Okay. What am I trying to say? Feed. Okay. The Bible must become a spiritual food for your spiritual strength. Okay? The Bible must become your spiritual food for your spiritual strength. What do you notice about eating? Okay? This is one important thing about eating, is that you do this every day. Hello? I know some of you, when you're not fasting for spiritual reason, if you weren't fasting for spiritual reason, tell me a day that you didn't eat. What? Most of you here can't find one day you didn't eat. So What it is that you realize this principle about physical eating, it applies to spiritual, that you need to constantly eat the Word of God. You need to constantly eat the Word of God. You have to develop a habit, this discipline, this practice, regularly reading, studying the Word of God. You know, the Bible describes itself with food illustration. The Bible describes itself as water that cleanses you, the Word of God that cleanses you, water. Okay? Milk for a new Christian. Okay? But some Christians continue, the Bible says, continuously drinking milk when you should be eating solid food. Right? Bread and meat. And so when you think about bread, meat, milk, water, it has everything that you need for spiritual growth. I couldn't find vegetable, illustration. But it has everything that you need for spiritual growth. You know, if you were a commander in the army, you wouldn't send the soldiers out into battle if they didn't eat for months. Right? We need to feed ourselves to have the strength to accomplish the task that God gives us. You have to develop a daily habit of eating the Bible. Right? Psalm 1 says, I meditate on your word. I meditate on the word of God day and night. Okay? Day and night. Some of you physically, you eat 3 times a day. Some of you 10 times a day, you know. You're constantly eating. Same thing with the word of God. Don't starve your soul and your spirit. Okay? You know, when you're physically starving, you do everything you can to eat. Okay? When you're physically starving. But I don't know why, but spiritually starving and you feel, you just feel down more. You don't feel motivated. You feel God is far away from you. You start to hear lies. You get attacked. The enemy's able to shoot his arrow at you. You get stuck and you get hopeless. You're spiritually starving. Huh? You're spiritually starving. Don't let your soul starve. Discern the hunger in your spirit. Don't feed your soul junk food, you know, of the world. And don't feed your flesh. Feed your spiritual hunger with the living Word of God. You could say amen. Amen there. Okay, amen there. Okay. Let's work on this timing. Okay? Let's work on the timing, the response. Number 2, memorize. Okay, memorize. So, you read the Word of God, but I challenge Catalyst to go deeper. Memorize it. Memorize the Word of God. So when you read it, here's the problem with reading. You forget it. Okay? When you memorize Scripture, you keep Scripture in your heart, in your mind, in your emotion. That you renew your mind when you memorize Scripture. When I memorize Scripture, I am creating this new pathway. My mind is being renewed. See, when you memorize Scripture, God's Word is accessible, you know, anytime. God's Word is accessible to overcome temptation. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, Jesus didn't say, wait a minute, okay, let me Google some passages so I can read it. He didn't do that. Okay? You know, Jesus had the Word of God in his heart to overcome temptation. Jesus said every time the devil came with a different temptation, he didn't go, let me look it up, let me try to find it. No, he says, it is written, it is written, it is written. Why? Because he memorized the Bible. He memorized it. See, when you memorize Scripture, God use it to speak to you. Okay? Some of you go, you know, God never, and it's so confusing. God doesn't speak to me. It's because you don't have the truth in your heart, hidden in your heart. You see, different situation, confusing situation, difficulty when there's lies, when someone's speaking heresy, when you need direction and guidance, the Holy Spirit will bring up the hidden word in your heart, to your mind. This happens to me all the time. Right? This happens to me all the time. When God wants to show me something, God brings up the scripture that I memorize. When I minister to people, how many of you, realize this? When I pray for you, it's not from what God brings up scripture, the Bible. There's illustration that God gives me, and I'll speak that. When I say, God tells you, come to me, when you are weary and heavy laden, and he will give you rest. I'm not making that up. Okay? I'm not making that up. It's from scripture. God will bring that up when I minister to people. Huh? And so you need to memorize the scripture. Don't just scan it, so that you have a check mark. Men, I know Bible reading daily, you just, okay, check. Okay? God can't do much with that. Right? Yeah? And what I realize about cult, they don't really know the Bible. They take everything out of context. That's what the devil does. With Adam and Eve, that's what the devil tried to do with Jesus. Take everything out of context. And so you gotta memorize, know the scripture in your heart. And Holy Spirit will help you, will partner with you to release the truth. Okay, amen? Number three, take responsibility. Say that to your neighbor. What should you take responsibility for? Take responsibility for your heart. Yeah? The Bible says about itself, the Word of God is a seed, okay? And your heart is a soil. It's a soil. When the seed is planted, depending on the state of your heart, okay? If your heart is receptive, the seed will bear fruit. If your heart is not receptive, there will be no fruit. Okay? See, your heart has to be prepared, receptive, soft, open to the Word of God. Okay? To be open to the Word of God. That is why, you'll see this. Two people come to church, they sit side by side, and this isn't the condition, the Holy Spirit's moving. And the Word of God is powerful. I don't mean when the Word of God is boring, but the Word of God is very powerful, right? One walk out, where he says, she says, God really spoke to me. Another walk out, I didn't get anything out of the worship service, out of the sermon. What's the difference? They were in the same place. They were in the same worship room. The Holy Spirit was moving. It was a powerful Word of God release. One heart was receptive. The other wasn't. That's the difference. Okay? One heart was receptive, the other wasn't. Okay? The Bible in Luke chapter 8 talks about, four different attitudes, state of the heart. Okay? One is hardened soil. It's a hardened soil. What's a hardened soil? Represent a closed mind. Okay? We don't give God a chance to talk to us. In our heart, what is it? I know better. Okay, I don't want to listen to God, what God has to say about the world, about money, about relationship, about marriage, family, about my character, about sex. No, I know better. Okay, that's a hardened soil. That's a hardened soil. Okay? The seed's not going to produce any fruit. Second, the Bible says about our heart, it's a shallow soil. It's a shallow soil. It's a very hardened mind, and this is superficial mind. Okay? We say that, when we hear it, oh, that was good, and then we soon forget it. It's a shallow soil. We soon forget it. Okay? The seed doesn't go deep. Okay? And the Book of James describes this man who looks at a mirror. Oh, okay, I see myself. I see what's going on in my heart. I know this person, and then goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. Huh? And this is what we do, you know, when we have a shallow soil. It just, you glance at the mirror and you forget what you look like, you know, once you go home. You know, we become so busy with life, Bible has become too casual. Okay? There's no root. We don't look deep into it anymore. Okay? So that's a shallow soil. Third soil, soil with weed. Okay? This is a preoccupied mind. Preoccupied mind. We let other things choke the word of God. The weed chokes the seed. You know? Worries and fears and money, work, you know, our business. We fill our life with things that's not important. It distracts us so that we don't have time for important things. Right? That's a soil with weeds. And the fourth heart that the Bible talks about is a good soil. Right? Say to your neighbor, you are the good soil. Right? A good soil is a humble heart, teachable, and a receptive and open heart. Okay? And the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those with noble and good heart, who hears the word, retains it, and by persevering produces a crop. When you have a good heart, you're able to retain and persevere, okay, until you see the fruit. Now, number four is action plan. You gotta have an action plan, okay? Knowledge requires action, you know. James chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, do what it says, okay? Do what it says. In James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, it is sin. This is what the Bible says. I didn't. It is sin to know what you ought to do and not do it. Okay? Not do it. Sin of commission, you know? Okay. So, when the word of God convicts you, okay, don't let the seed fall on hard ground. Don't let the seed fall on shallow soil. Don't let the seed fall on weeds. Okay? And so how do you let the seed fall on good soil? You have to come up with an action plan, with the conviction that you got. Write out an action plan. Come up with a plan where you can practically and personally apply the conviction from the Word of God. Okay, I'm going to give you an example. I see blank stares. So I'm going to give you some example. For example, teaching on forgiveness. How many of you know forgiveness is good? Right? How many of you know God commands you to forgive? Right? Good. Right? I preached on forgiveness many times, and you guys go, amen. But don't just leave it at that. Right? Share with someone who could keep you accountable the unforgiveness that you have towards somebody, just one person. Okay? That's a practical plan. Okay? Memorize, Google it, say prayers of forgiveness. Okay? Look through it, see which one you like, memorize three or four prayers. Okay? So that anytime you feel rejected, anytime you got this hurt memory that comes up, you could recite those prayers. Come up with a plan how you will resist the devil when you are bitter, when you feel bitterness being stirred up in your heart. But if it's still too difficult, seek regular counseling. If it's too much to do it alone, seek regular counseling. Right? Just some practical advice, an action plan that you could have with the teaching to forgive. Right? What about when lies about self, you know, you're being hit with lies about self, okay? Well, have an action plan. Identify the lies, okay? Identify it so you could discern it. You need to know how to, some of you, the lies come, it comes, you go, oh, you know, you're worthless, it's so true, I'm so worthless. And you hear a message, you know, no, you are a creation of God. You know, God loves you. You are created for a purpose. Oh, you got the truth, and the, you know, and then lie hits you. You are worth. Oh, I'm worthless. You know, no. Learn how to identify it when it comes, because some of those lies been hitting you again and again and again and again. You gotta identify it and discern it. Right? Identify and discern it, and you know, and then have an action plan. What situation caused you to believe in that lie? Identify those things. What verse, what truth, okay, are you going to hold on to when those lies come to your mind? And I remember Pastor Sam said those verses, but I forgot what it is. What is it? Write it down. Memorize it. Apply it. Okay? Say temptations. You know, the Bible says flee from temptations. Practically, how are you going to resist the temptation, the addiction, the sin? Right? And here too, you need to identify the trigger, because all of you, most of you, you know, temptation is not that you had no choice and you just, the devil, you know, just tricked you and all of a sudden you fell into temptation. No, there's a trigger first that makes you go step closer to the edge. That makes you go closer to the edge, that makes you go right at the edge, and that makes you fall. Right? Identify the first trigger. Right? That first trigger. And, you know, so that you could avoid it. Right? Develop accountability with somebody. Right? Develop an accountability. Replace that health. What is that healthy habit instead of, you know, allowing that first trigger to come, do something else, a more healthy habit to take place of that unhealthy habit. Right? The Bible says love is very important. Amen? It's very important. Love. And you hear many, many sermons about love. Okay? Well, have an action plan. Figure out who you can show this love to. Okay? Put down their name on your journal. Okay? How are you going to show the love of God to this person? Maybe you say, you know, I'm going to help him clean the garage. I'm going to call him, you know, call her and ask to meet me for coffee, and I'll treat this person to coffee. Have a specific plan to bless that person. Right? Evangelism. Right? We're called to make disciples of all nations. Right? Well, if you want to obey that commandment, right, you need to know how to share the gospel. Do you know how to share the gospel? Well, that's the first step. I got to learn how to share the gospel. I'm going to practice it. I'm going to read books so that I know how to share the gospel effectively. Do you know how to share your testimony? If somebody came up to you, how do I know God? Do you know what to say? Go talk to Pastor Sam. You know? Do you have a testimony, even a testimony, to share with somebody how you came to know the Lord? Right? And that's just basic, right? To obey, to put into practice what the Bible says about evangelism. You could go further. Write down the names of all the non-Christians that you know. Right? Start, I'm going to then say, I'm going to start praying for them. And then, as you pray, the next step, you could put an action plan. I'm going to reach out to this guy or this woman. Not just to say hi, but to share my testimony. Have a specific action plan. Do you guys understand? Right? And then five, I'm going to explain schedule. Schedule. Right? Okay, what I'm saying is be specific about time. Action steps should be personal and practical, and you need to put it in your schedule. Okay? You need to put it in. See, what I realize is when I don't put something in my calendar nowadays, if I don't put something in the calendar, you know, the staff knows this. Do you have it in this calendar? You know, they ask me all the time. If I don't put it in the calendar, you know, say I have a meeting with you, I don't put it in the calendar, I forget. I don't do it. So I have to put it in the calendar, you know? And so, for example, evangelizing my friend, you know, say, put it in the calendar. This week, Monday, starting tomorrow, Monday to Friday, I'm going to pray for this person as I go to work, that 15 minutes on the train or something, or while I'm driving. I'm going to pray for that person. Okay? And you got to put it in the calendar. Monday afternoon, I'm going to ask this person to meet me for coffee. You got to put it in. Not, it would be nice to meet up with this person. Put it in the calendar. Okay? Lies, about lies, right? You got to put it in the calendar. You know, 30 minutes when I go to work on the train, I'm going to work on identifying the lies. Okay, you said, I'm going to identify the lie. Well, you got to make the time for it. You have to schedule it in. Okay? And spend 30 minutes before I go to sleep to maybe, you know, you need those truths. Well, you're going to have to schedule it. Not just say, I need, oh yes, if I had the truth, I could fight this lie, right? No, say 15 minutes before I go to bed, Monday to Friday, I'm going to find two verses a week that I can memorize to fight this specific lie. Put it in your calendar. Temptation. This is important to fight temptation. Not just, you know, you need to schedule. You know what you're going to do tomorrow. You know what you're going to do tomorrow. You know your trigger. All right? And put in your schedule how you're going to avoid that trigger. Do something else. Does that make sense to you? Don't be this blind, like, you know, with news just going anywhere the devil wants you to go. You schedule it. Schedule to avoid the temptation. Right? Put it in your schedule. Right? And so, you know, how are you going to love the Word of God and live the Word of God? How are you going to hear the Word of Jesus and put it into practice? Right? Feed. Eat the bread of the Word of God daily. You need to be consistent. Okay? Memorize, hide the Word of God in your heart. Take responsibility, develop a receptive heart. Have an action plan. Have an action plan to apply the Word of God and schedule. Put it in your daily schedule. Put it in your calendar. Okay? And I believe this way, you're going to start loving and living the Word of God. Amen. You know, it is in this culture, it is a normal Christianity to have knowledge. And that was the problem. I mean, this is important. You got to have knowledge. The Pharisee had knowledge, but they didn't go to love and living the Word of God. Okay? They had the knowledge, but had no love for the Word, and they didn't live out the Word. When you live in high level of theory, and this is the problem with the church, with the Bible. A lot of theories, you know. Without loving the Word and without living out the Word, there's very low encounter with God. Okay? There's a very low encounter with God. So the Pharisee wasn't they didn't have encounter with God. They didn't know God because they saw Jesus and they called him the son of Bezalel. Can you believe how wrong they got? The son of God. There, you must be the son of Bezalel, the prince of the flies, you know. But what happened with the Word of God? They didn't love it and live it. They made it legalistic. They made it a performance. Okay? And that's why, you know, it didn't bring life. The Word of God didn't bring life to them. And so we have gotten comfortable hearing the Word, but not being the lover and doers of the Word. You know, we know how to agree with the truth, but we tend to forget it when we go home. We agree with when we hear a sermon on giving, you go, oh, that was great, about discipleship, about love, about forgiveness, about evangelism, about mission, about helping out the poor, you know, helping the widow. That's biblical. We all say, yeah, we agree with it. We agree with it, but the Word of God has no power in us because we don't love it and we don't live it. Okay? The Bible says the house is on a sand. You know, there's thorn that chokes the Word. rocky path that prevents growth, weed that snatches the seed. The power of the Word of God is removed so that there's no power to change our life. Right? This is my challenge to Catalyst. Let's not let that happen. Say that to your neighbor. Let's not let that happen. Okay? Let us love and live the Word of God. Okay? Amen. Let's worship team.